Welcome everybody to the January 26, 2026 regularly scheduled meeting of the Town of Ailes Planning and Environmental Commission. Please note that all commissioners are present except for Commissioners Jensen and Commissioner Hanlon. The first item on our agenda today is a work session. It's item 3.1. It's for the Gerald R. Ford Amphitheater Project. So do we have a presentation from you, or are we just going to hear from the potential applicants, the presenters?
Yeah, just a short introduction for the Planning Commission. So Gerald Ford Amphitheater was within Ford Park. We did update the Ford Park Master Plan at the end of 2023. They do have some new recommendations and language from what was previously in the plan from 2013. Part of that is an update to looking at this exact area and some potential projects that would have happened there, which is very similar to kind of what you're going to see today. But you know, as you're thinking about this project, as well as any potential future application, a review of the master plan and some of its guiding principles would be very helpful for the Planning Commission. So please keep that in mind. But other than that, we'll turn over to the presenters to talk about their project.
All right, thank you, Greg. So presenters, if you guys could introduce yourself for the record.
Sure. My name's Pedro Campos, land planner and landscape architect with Zarin and Associates, based in Avon, and joined here by my colleague, Dave.
Hi, I'm Dave Kaselak with Zarin Associates, architectural principal.
Yeah, and in addition, we have some members of our team. We are coming at this as an interdisciplinary team. We've got Richard, Billy Land, Caitlin Crater, and Doug Lang, who are part of our architecture and landscape architecture teams. Appreciate the opportunity to hold a work session. I'd like to give a little update. We have had as the new year unfolded, we had a pre-application meeting with the staff, with Greg Roy, Greg Berry. I think there might have been some other folks present. We are trying as much as possible early in the process to get as much input from staff and from other stakeholders. Last week, we went before the Ford Park Stakeholders Advisory Committee, which is a group that was set up as a result of the 2023 master plan that Greg mentioned, and to present again the same information that we're presenting today. We've also met with the Betty Ford Alpine Gardens with the president and the chairperson of the board, so Nicola Ripley and Susan Frampton, to share the same information and start to get them up to speed and some of the impacts that disturbance that the gardens may feel probably as the most directly affected stakeholder in the park. From there, we're really pleased that Greg was able to schedule this for us, so everyone's seeing largely the same information, so we're able to get a whole round of initial comments. From here, we hope to put together an application over the next 4 weeks, a conditional use permit application specifically to the Town's Planning Environmental Commission. As part of that, we are going to do a deep dive into the 2023 Ford Park Master Plan and responding to many of the principles and considerations there, as well as the criteria that are in the code for a conditional use permit. That's required because just as a reminder, the facility, the Gerald Ford Amphitheater, is on a lease with the Town of Vail. The Town of Vail is the owner of the land, and it's operated by the Vail Valley Foundation on a lease, which is getting close to expiration. It's actually one of the, I think, checklist items to renew that, and as part of this project as well. So I'll kick that in. Do I just scroll by hand
here? There should be a little clicker right
here. A little clicker? Oh, there it is. Okay. So bear with me. So I wanted to provide an overview. This is really going to be a two-part.
You pointed this direction.
Do I need to maybe turn it on?
If not, I'll just go.
Oh, looks like it worked that time.
Oh, that's me, so just let me know.
Okay. Got it. Okay. So So here we are. Just as a reminder, here's the facility. Just to get you oriented, the project's really going to touch some of the areas that are labeled, starting really with the box office that faces outward to Betty Ford Way, which is the main route coming from the north and spans across the whole park all the way to the west. We call it East Betty Ford Way, Central Betty Ford Way, and West Betty Ford Way. The areas of the amphitheater that are being proposed for improvements are the box office, then the south concessions just to the west, so both of those framing the entrance. Then we move to north concessions to the north there, and then moving to the east side of the facility, we have some improvements at east restrooms, or really, sorry, the east concessions. The east restrooms are across from it, and then the loading dock, which is right there. So the next slide, please. This shows some initial pictures. I'm going to go through these fast. I think these were part of the presentation, so existing context. Next slide. And then showing the box office, the area in front of the box office, in which the box office is going to expand into. Next slide. Then the loading dock and the east concessions. So we see that. Next slide. And then now we're at the south concessions near the entrance. We see the existing donor wall that's going to remain, but we are going to push it out forward a little bit. We see the south concessions as well, and some of the interface of the lawn, and then the boulders around these structures. Next slide. This is an image of the north concessions, and we'll talk a lot about this because this is one of the biggest parts of the project. The next slide. And then this shows just out of the gate some of the areas, proposed plantings that we're thinking to mitigate tree loss. If you go to the next slide, you'll see we've started looking at the areas that where existing trees are going to be impacted, and then we're going to be putting it back and working carefully with our neighbors, with the town, to supplement and replace trees that are lost. Next slide. So this really shows the box office, and Dave's going to cover in much more detail the uses within each of the buildings. I just wanted to give you a sense of the area that's shaded in yellow is the addition area, and then the area in front are is landscaping that we're putting back, trying to berm back up to the building and conceal the new mass, and use the same boulders and plant material, really trying to accentuate this area more as a plaza in front of the box office. And Dave will talk a little bit more about that in terms of the additional window space that's created. We started looking at this. The Ford Park Master Plan calls for berming and screening and careful treatment of areas of interface with the public, back of house areas and areas between stakeholders and operational areas. So anything that happens in the park is like that, and you have to be really careful. The next slide shows we're starting to look at how to best address the landscaping in front of the building, and if we terrace, it's something we'd like to hear some feedback on. Should we terrace and lose some planting space by trying to get a little higher, or should we do a lower berm and add, you know, significant plant material that conceals the building? But this is one of the areas we're looking at closely because it's probably the most visible area of the project that comes out into the park. The other proposals are mainly within the amphitheater itself. The next slide.
Peter, can I interrupt you?
Of course.
On the what I'm looking at on the right side of the screen, this is you're talking about potentially terracing versus sloped.
Yeah, that's
and exactly this would be in front of the box office.
That would be in front of the box office, and you could see the on the right hand side. You see it shows the existing and proposed. The dashed line is where the building currently exists.
Yeah,
and we're bumping out to the south, and Dave's going to cover in detail what the uses are.
Okay.
And the purpose.
So we'll come back to this.
Yeah.
With Dave. Okay.
Greg, I'm going to ask you. Hopefully, it's not too bad. But if you could go back to the one of the first slides that shows the whole project. I would like to couch it, the purpose of the project, which we kind of just jumped right in. But the idea is, and the plan really talks about this 2023 plan, operationally for both artists, the staff that works.
Trying to find the right one.
Yeah,
there we go.
Either of these. The facility is bursting at the seams under the current scenario and the current facilities. It's now being programmed far more for larger acts, and the intensity for both the artists, people who work there, folks who come in and help set up, it's subpar to other facilities. It's kind of noted by people who work in the industry that go back and forth between places like Red Locks, Dillon, others saying, my gosh, what you have here is really challenging. As an example, like A-list acts like Robert Plant are using the same restroom as staff. The green room is inadequate for some of the performers, and you know, some of the bands come with 8, 9 people, and it's not a pleasant experience for both them and then the people that work there. The whole thing with will call, pickup, some of the interactions that happen, that's one set of purposes as it relates to the box office. In a lot of the other buildings, you'll see dispersed storage, dry storage, and also cooler storage. With the intent to have more on-site storage to minimize some of the frequency of deliveries that happens, because right now it's basically almost on a daily basis. The thought is to minimize those, reduce some of the congestion and deliveries in the park, especially during peak summer days when there's a lot of people walking around and pedestrians. So that's a key theme that you'll hear, and Dave will key in on this. And then there are a couple of the improvements are geared towards food and beverage. On South Concessions is just to expanding the footprint of the kitchen to be able to serve a more diversified menu, a higher quality menu. It's one of the things consistently in surveys, guest experience surveys, that the foundation hears is that the menu offerings are limited, and there's a cry for patrons that they'd like more diversity. So that provides additional space. And then in the North Concessions is the big probably aspect of the, because it involves the demolition of North Concessions and replacement with a two-story volume that doesn't exist today. In the master plan, we had started studying these projects almost 3-4 years ago to look at what made sense from amassing, bulk, height, and there was contemplation of adding second stories to both first, the box office, and then the South Concessions. I think we dropped the box office going into the plan, but we quickly realized that adding two stories to these buildings that are front-facing into the park would just be too dominant. They're really meant to be low-slung stucco boxes that are one story. In looking at adding a second story to the North Concessions, because it's interior to the facility, it's back up against a big slope, pretty concealed within the facility from just about every other area of the park, even the gardens, because we have so many trees there. And again, it's bunkering into the slope. In order to add a second story, the team really studied it, structural engineer studied it. The buildings just were not designed to withstand the loading for a second story, especially with that construction type. And it was limiting in terms of what the team trying to figure out the program of the building. With the ground floor still being very much what it is today, the point of sales for the food, particularly beverages, the bar, but having more cooler space, storage space inside, and then a indoor-outdoor space that spins off the Borgen Plaza on the west side, which is often used for community gatherings, VIPs. It's an area of the amphitheater that sometimes gets organized for special types of events, even when normal events are going on. When it rains, there's no place for those folks to go. Now they'll have an indoor-outdoor space. Dave's going to cover in more detail. And then on the second floor is flexible space for a variety of uses, whether it's for Bravo's rehearsal, storage of some of their instruments, for the Vail Dance Festival dance or rehearsal that now takes place in temporary facilities in Gold Peak and throughout other areas. And then other types of uses that are programs and programming of the that are still to be determined, and operationally those are things that are probably going to have to be hashed out as part of the new lease and that sort of thing.
thing. So I wanted to couch the rest of the presentation. Dave's really going to get into more detail and walk you through the interior uses, but that's the purpose of the project at this stage. And so I guess we have to fast forward to the...
I got this, don't worry.
Thanks, Greg, for helping us out there. To the floor plan, here, and
there
Dave's
it is.
Going to take it from here, and then...
All right.
Thanks.
Sounds good. Thanks, Pedro. Yeah, so like Pedro had alluded to, our proposal includes extending the existing box office building to the south. I think it's about 20, how many feet, Kat? 22 feet to the south. And while doing that, we propose to rebuild the existing berm that's there now to try to hide as much of the new addition as we can and make it feel like it's nestled into the berm there along Central Betty Ford Way. As Pedro also alluded to, we're trying to fix a problem at the box office windows there. You see a couple of new gates there we're proposing, and instead of four box office windows, there are six. There are issues there now with people coming there for a will call, mixing with other people that may have issues with their tickets, and so they get backed up. And so right now the proposal is to have a series of windows that are very, you know, for the very straightforward customer, they come there for will call, they get their tickets. And then for, you know, kind of the problem customers, they would go back out the social courtyard and then visit the four windows that are kind of outside the gates so that they're not holding up the show, so to speak. And then the vast majority of people obviously get their tickets scanned within the social courtyard. So these are, you know, this is kind of a limited group we're talking about. You can see in white, that's the existing building, and the yellow represents the addition. As Pedro mentioned, right now the talent, you know, that comes to the venue very much mixes with the working staff. And there aren't these two distinct worlds that you really need for a venue such as this. And the dressing rooms are undersized. They don't have bathrooms. As Pedro mentioned, the talent is using some of the restrooms off the great room, or the green room, rather, up on the upper right of the drawing, which staff is also using. So as you come in from the staff entry, which is on the upper left of the drawing, you come in, there's a small break area and lockers, and then there's a separation between the ticket windows and the rest of the building, so you don't kind of see how the sausage is made as a guest. And then we're proposing a series of offices which are designed for on-site staff. We're not proposing that additional staff, you know, get introduced to the campus here, but these are for all on-site staff. There are some enclosed offices, and then there's a big open office area for four people kind of against the berm we're proposing. They now get a conference space, which is really going to be used as a multi-use space for them, and then the code-required restrooms for the employees. And then off to the southeast corner, there's exterior storage, which will also contribute to fewer deliveries, as Pedro mentioned, so they won't have to bring you know, the stuff they need for the venue back and forth. The upper yellow band where the addition meets the existing building, that's where we're providing ensuite restrooms for the dressing rooms. So that, again, you know, Robert Plant has his own restroom instead of intermingling with his support crew and everyone else. So we're proposing that three of the dressing rooms now would have access to their own restrooms. And then the last dressing room there farthest left, he'd be the only guy that's left without a restroom. So I think, the important aspects of this addition is, even though we're pushing forward to the south towards Betty Ford Way, we're trying very hard to berm as much of this building as possible, creating a foundation wall there. So even though the building's getting larger in footprint, we can hide as much of it as possible. And then the other thing I think that's important is, and Pedro alluded to it as well, is, you know, the camp is made up of these low-slung kind of stucco buildings. And we're trying to be respectful of that and not put an addition on the second level. We feel an addition on the second level here would really impact the amphitheater experience. You wouldn't see the trees in the background. It's very kind of transparent now as you look through the amphitheater toward the mountain. So we didn't want to do that. And if you don't go up, you kind of have to go out. So that's what we're proposing for South Box Office.
On the floor plan, you know, I understand all the the needs around green room and dressing rooms and bathroom concerns. It looks like about two-thirds of the space, though, is office and conference room, what's being added, something around there. And I have to ask, is this what you see as the minimum needed, you know, for office space, or is this more than is needed? Because something that was probably one of the biggest concerns when we went through the master planning process in 23 was, you know, we're losing a lot of green. You know, you stand in that space, what's really cool about coming into the AMP is how green it is, right? Mm-hmm. We're losing a lot of mature trees on the front to gain office space.
Right.
And a big concern of that master planning process was, hey, you know, this is very, you know, special green space we have in mm-hmm. Ford Park, and let's try to minimize the addition of new office space that doesn't, unless it's absolutely necessary.
Right.
So do you see this as like the minimum that's needed to make this space function?
Yes, and we've been hyper aware of the concern about introducing office space mm-hmm. into the park, if it's for staff that aren't physically, you know, needing to be there.
Yep.
And yes, we're told this is the minimum amount of seats we need in order for the staff to function on site.
Okay.
Before we move on, do you have more of a presentation on this building? I have some questions on this before we move on.
Okay.
What's being added right now, that there's obviously the staff additional space that's needed, but other than the bathrooms for the dressing rooms, that this doesn't seem to be any additional green room or dressing room space. So is this plan going to solve that need and, you know, prevent like 5-10 years down the line people still complaining about green room space and dressing room space? It seems like this is going to be a huge project that we're working through now, and it'd be better to do more one time than try to do this every 5 or 10 years. But I've not really seen how this, other than Robert getting his own bathroom, how this is really changing anything. And I've been in, not in the dressing rooms, but the green room, and it is pretty small. So is there a reason we're not growing those spaces more?
Yeah, that's a great question. So yes, we are trying to future-proof this project, because this is probably going to be the most significant, you know, capital investment in this campus for a long time, at least for the next 20 years. So we're told that, you know, with the addition of these restrooms to the dressing rooms, the one dressing room, you know, gets almost, you know, 40% larger, as you can see there. Some of the improvements we're making to the loading dock for how they load for the concert. There are improvements that we're not showing because they don't really affect, you know, planning commission so much, which include like interior renovations of the green room, interior renovation of the basement of the facility. So those, all those things added together, yes, we're told are going to, you know, improve this to the point where it's future-proof for the next 15-20 years.
Okay.
I mean, it'll never be, you know, a Red Rocks, obviously, or something.
Yeah.
It's a very small venue. We have very small footprints to work with. But for the venue that it is, yes, this should cover us for the foreseeable future.
Okay. And then I wasn't around in 2023, so maybe there's a big pushback on this, but I mean, I agree the green space and everything at the AMP is awesome. The entrance feel is awesome. I've been there a lot in the summer and in the winter and a day and night, and don't really find myself super fixated on the mountain view, right? Like, you're there for the act. So is there a big benefit we're losing functionally for the venue by not doing second stories on this building or the concession stands? That is that a dead subject, or is that
I feel like if you put a second story in the building and block the view through, you're gonna the whole town's gonna erupt.
Really?
Yeah.
I do
people
think
like
dead.
That view.
Yeah.
People like sitting in the seats and being able to see beyond the act, whoever's playing, whether it's a symphony or a rock band or whatever, and be able to see the trees behind. Yeah. I think people flip out.
That's fair. I didn't know that it had been discussed.
I agree with John. I think people are really tuned into the fact that they're watching a concert in the mountains.
Yeah.
And that's what makes that venue so unique. It's kind of like red rocks nestled into the rocks. And so to have the mature plantings and the lawn and to be able to see the ski mountain in the background, I think is a really huge part of the experience.
Okay.
Yeah, and I thought about saying it a little bit earlier too, just for context too, around kind of what some of the 2023 did. Kind of Brad touched on a little bit. Previously, the master plan said no new buildings in Ford Park at all. And so with this coming through, this was part of the discussion during that master planning, as well as some of the guiding principles around if additions are done, how they should be done, and who should decide or what should be considered when making these decisions. So page 107 has some good, I think they're called guiding operation principles for future changes. To kind of look at these, as we think about these additions, to consider those as far as.
107 of the master plan, correct?
Yeah.
And we have page 121, 131 too, that's specific about Ford Park.
Yeah.
I mean, specific to Ford Amphitheater.
Yep.
I have questions too, you know, or thoughts, not questions so much, but looking at the potential expansion toward Betty Ford Way, that. We're not proposing raising the elevation of the top of the building, are we?
Correct, we're
it's
not.
It's going to be the
and
same
And you'll see
building,
it in the elevations we'll show you?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yep.
And I think what's going to be important to the guest experience is going to be, as you approach that area, making sure that that bulk and mass and scale is still within proportion as a pedestrian, yep, in that area. And that comes to back to the berming and the landscaping and what you guys have already referenced. You know, I think along with the lines of the master plan, I'm supportive of expanding this part of the box office and making it a better experience for both staff and the artists. I think that's very important. We do, I know that the facility isn't that great in there right now, and so all that, but what's going to be important is how everything blends in,
right,
with the landscaping and the berming and how the building's constructed, because it is the building heights in that lower section. You know, we're not talking about maybe the north concessions, but in that front area, we don't want things to be out of scale. We still want it to be an intimate environment.
Absolutely, as do we. And you can see here on the elevations, you know, we're proposing to use the exact same materials, exact same building height. We're trying to berm that eastern half of the building. Basically, the goal is that, you know, as we do these additions, we want the end user to feel like they had kind of always been there, that they don't feel like additions, you know. And so on the left side there, the left and third of that building, the western third of that building, it's essentially going to look like, you know, exactly like it does now, because that's not being touched very much. But then the eastern, you know, half, that protrudes towards Betty Ford Way, we intend to berm like those sections we're showing, and then obviously add a lot more mature plantings than what these renderings show to kind of really make it go away if we can, you know, as much as we can.
Okay.
But same language, same materials, same proportions, same scale.
Okay. Any other thoughts for these guys about the box office building before we proceed to some of the other buildings?
The only other thing I was going to ask is there a reason that existing restrooms aren't included in the scope? Is the useful life of those projected out long enough that it's not necessary?
So the existing, the mass restrooms for,
yeah.
So those were one of the most significant improvements in the 2012-2013 improvements. Fixture count in the women's restrooms almost doubled. And then new restrooms were added on the east side of the facility that didn't exist. So we're pretty well covered for the audience.
Okay.
And it was really the staff and the performers. And then there are, in the north concessions, Dave will get into, there are new restrooms required by code. There are a few, in these instances, the code requires them, just the
okay.
way the building's organized.
Yeah, and it's always a, you know, question mark when you're doing a remodel project of how much of that thread you want to pull, you know, before all of a sudden the budget has doubled because now we're redoing everything. So like Pedro says, we feel like we have enough, you know, life cycle left in the existing restrooms and for the eastern bathrooms that were built fairly recently, the ones in the northeast there.
Mm-hmm.
But everything else is getting a nice facelift.
Okay.
There also is a bathroom that was added when the social courtyard with the tensile structure that's a public bathroom. It was one of the actual requirements when we went through this process the last time that your board required a bathroom that was open to the park during the daily park operations, because in that area it's kind of underserved. There's bathrooms on the upper bench coming from the east and the north. There are bathrooms on the field on the west side, and there are bathrooms near the playground, but there was no public bathroom in this area. And so there is one that is going to be kept as part of the project. And we'll point it out when you get to south concessions.
Can we go back just again? I want to look one more time. Yeah, I just want to look one more time at this plan. So as a looking above, so the green room spaces, there's a hallway. What is that to the, yeah, what is this area? What's going on in this area? This is all in the building, correct?
Yeah, that's the green room. That's on the eastern side.
Okay.
And it's got some skylights that bring natural light in. And those restrooms there are used by occupants of the green room. You know, it might be the roadies, you know, other support staff related to the concert.
Okay. All right.
We'll remodel that, but there's no intention to make it larger or anything.
Okay. Any further thoughts for these guys in regard to the box office?
Not for me.
All right. Thanks, Dave. All right. Thank you, guys.
So now we get into, I guess this is a site plan we're looking at? So now we get into the east concessions and loading dock. The area in yellow there is what we're proposing to expand. And that represents about a 7.5-foot expansion to the east. Right now, you know, the existing loading dock is really dysfunctional. A semi pulls in via East Betty Ford Way, pulls all the way up to those box office windows that, you know, we're improving, and then backs into the loading dock. But there's really only room for him, and that's it, with barely any room on either side. So we're trying to expand the loading dock to the east to at least be able to get a small van or a box truck in addition to the semi. And then the existing loading dock itself is inadequate in terms of being able to unload fast enough and reload. And then as part of that, we would also be expanding the east concessions themselves to the east, the same amount, to be able to get an additional point of sale or two at that building. If you've been to a concert there, that's, you know, quite often that's where the lines back up, you know, almost to the bathrooms behind them, because it's such a popular concessions area. So the VVP is trying to get an additional 2 points of sale at least. And when we get to the elevations, you'll see how we're able to do that. Here's a plan view of the same. Just like we're doing at the box office, since we are encroaching towards Betty Ford Way, you know, like I said, about 7.5 feet, we're trying to, at the same time, improve that facade so that people coming down East Biddy Ford Way from the parking lots have something nicer to look at as opposed to a story and a half of stucco. So we're proposing to put some decorative metal panels there, those kind of angled elements you see, in lieu of a big stucco wall. We'll obviously replant that landscape buffer between the building and East Biddy Ford Way and try to make it even nicer than it is now. So that the experience and the arrival coming from, you know, the parking lot to the social courtyard is vastly improved. Going to the box or the concessions itself, you can see in yellow the area that we're pushing toward the east. We've moved the employee door from the kind of north facade over to the east face so that you don't see that and you get additional points of sale. And then, as I mentioned earlier, they may be able to go from like 3 to 5 points of sale there so they can keep the lines moving. So those are the east concessions improvements.
So the loading dock, how much wider is it going to be? How many feet?
It's 7.5 feet wider than it is now is what we're proposing, that yellow area.
So it's how wide is it now versus what it's going to be?
It's going to be 21.
Okay. So it's 14 now, and it's going to go to about 21.
Okay. And then 7.5 feet. Wider for the concessions?
Correct. And the loading dock, yep.
And the loading dock, so the building, the wall is continuous.
That's right.
From the concessions down through the loading dock area. There looks like on the plans that I looked at before the meeting, an expansion patio space over here and a retaining wall expansion.
Yeah, that's just for the employee entrance to the build, to the, you know, concessions. The employee entrance right now is on the north facade, which takes away from some of the point of sale. And so if we move it to the east and then move that retaining wall so that employees can get up in there, then that helps with the points of sale. And obviously we can make that as narrow as possible. It can be like 3 feet, just enough for someone to get in that door.
And today there's a patio there where people congregate. Is that going away?
No, it would just be expanded a little bit to the east. It would be the same stone veneer half wall you see there now. There are these kind of metal pickets on top of that stone wall. Mm-hmm. So that would all just get recreated.
Okay. And then the retaining wall will be, what will be its highest point most likely be toward the southern end of the wall?
That's a good question. Right now it's I think about 3 feet from the inside, and then it's got some metal pickets above that. From the outside, I think it's only about 4 or 5 feet tall. Okay. There isn't a huge grade drop there because people can actually enter GRFA from the east side there. There's an entry over there.
Correct.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
And then these are just some conceptual facades. The top one there illustrates how we get additional points of sale there to the left of the building. But again, using the same exact materials, the metal panels, the stucco, the same countertop. And then the bottom drawing, you know, just at a conceptual level, shows some decorative panels. We'll likely use a similar pattern to what's at Ford Park now, so that at least as you're coming down Betty Ford Way, going by this building, you have something beautiful to look at, as opposed to a big blank wall with, you know, a bunch of landscape crammed against it.
Yeah, I think that's going to be important. Just like in the front, I don't see your roof height changing.
Right.
But as you bring the walls further to the southeast, it does create a bigger scale.
Correct.
For park users walking up and down Betty Ford Way. So whatever you can do, you know, as we see things moving forward, helping to alleviate that condition. I understand certainly the need to improve, especially with the loading and unloading. I don't know, you know, we'll talk more about concessions, but I definitely understand the need for the improvement for the loading dock area.
Yeah.
But so anything as you bring this wall closer to Betty Ford Way, we're going to want to do whatever we can to break up the massing.
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
Make it a more user-friendly experience.
Yep. And then obviously there'd be a bunch of landscaping in front of this, you know, southern drawing. We don't want to hide the architecture so you could see what the proposal is, but our intent is definitely to soften that edge as much as possible. Okay, so then we get to the south concessions, which as you enter the...
Before we move on, I was just going to ask, any of you guys have any thoughts or anything about this area that we looked at? Dave, anything more about this area before we move on to the next?
No, I agree with you with what you're saying, though, about the usage of that metal fencing or metal partition as a way to minimize and blend. Really like that idea.
Okay. All right, sorry to interrupt.
No, you're right. So then we get to south concessions, which is the little building now, you know, that you experience as you come through the social courtyard before they've opened the gates. You know, it's on your left. You can see some of the landscape improvements we're proposing as part of the building addition, and then the areas we're touching for that building are indicated in yellow. So then we can go to the plan. So then on the lower left of this drawing, you can see the restrooms that Pedro mentioned earlier. Those are available for park use because they're outside the gates, and those were added, you know, as part of the previous project. But the need for this building is definitely a larger kitchen line and grill. They feel they have enough points of sale at this building. And so the remodeled portion on the left there in yellow represents the expanded grill and kitchen line. So they can plate faster, you know, service the guest faster. There is a proposal shown by the dashed line there. The one that goes up and down, Greg. Right, and then back and forth at the bottom there. We're experiencing challenges moving the retaining wall, you know, too far to the west before it starts hitting the existing fence and impacting the garden. So an alternate proposal is to maybe not go as far to the west by a couple of feet, but then head to the south a little bit more if we can make the grading work. And that would also satisfy, you know, what the amphitheater needs. So we're studying that now. But as it stands, we're proposing that addition shown in yellow. And then at the southeast corner, as Pedro alluded to, we're pushing the donor wall out toward the south, again, so they can get more interior kitchen space and get a second kitchen line. And then so that you feel like you're, you know, part of a space out there as you're reading the donor wall, we're proposing a little trellised roof in front of that wall, you know, part of the language of the buildings now, just so you spatially feel like you're in a place. And then we are reducing the kind of concession opening there on the very bottom. Right there. Right now it's about 10 feet, and I think we're reducing it, or it might be 11 and a half feet. We're reducing it to 6. They say it's not used that often. Every once in a while they have a ice cream social or something and it's open. But they feel like they'd rather have that as back of house space and reduce the point of sale there. So those are the main things we're talking about for the south concessions.
So at the south concession building, after as the Vail Valley Foundation's goal, still, this is the only building that has a kitchen in it.
Correct. This is the only building with a grill.
Is there going to be a kitchen in the new north building, or is it?
No.
This is still going to be the only building with a kitchen.
That's right. That's right. They still intend this to be the only one with a grill, which is nice for us because then it's the only thing that has a big kind of grill hood on top of it. And they still intend to cart the, you know, whatever they cook in this building over to North Concessions.
And so then on the northwest portion of this building, at least in the plans that we were provided with before our meeting today, it showed an expansion of the pavers, the patio,
right,
that kind of matches the expansion of the building itself.
Correct, correct. Yeah,
in that northwest location.
That's exactly right. They have a kind of retractable roof right now, and it's kind of, you know, a service yard. They put the trash over there. That's how employees enter the building. And so, yes, as we expand the building to the west, we have to take that yard with us.
Okay. And where, and so there'll be a retaining wall along the new patio area over there.
That's right. Greg, if we can go to the previous slide, I think we had a nice section through that. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, so you can see on the upper, so on the left drawing, you can see the upper portion there with the angled wall. That's an enlargement of the existing plaza. And then that transitions into a boulder wall that takes care of grade there on the west.
Okay. And that area too is where the fence comes around. That was just new fencing that was just installed.
Correct.
The fence line's there.
That's right.
And then, so who's responsible for in that area? Is it Betty Ford Alpine Gardens? Is responsible for watering and maintaining everything on the outside of the fence, and then Vail Valley Foundation is responsible for everything on the inside?
Currently, that's the way it works. One of the topics of discussion when we met recently with the Alpine Gardens, and for full disclosure, I am also a board member of the Alpine Gardens, so I've been trying to help this transition and interface. And what we've discussed is improving both sides of the fence. If you recall, last year there was a fence, I was before you, with a variance for the fence to go to 8 feet. And so it's new. As part of doing that work, it was pretty sensibly done, but it did disturb the ground immediately at it. The gardens, we've since added, planted a bunch of shrubs. They're still in their infancy, so it didn't look like much last year. But our thought is that we can improve upon the condition there. And there is a potential in the future that the gardens would help maintain landscaping within the amphitheater. That's something that's being discussed actively. No agreement yet, but that's part of the vision to enhance particularly this interface of the facility between, you know, the Betty Ford Alpine Gardens and the Gerald L. Ford Amphitheater, to really celebrate that interface. One thing I will, and maybe Greg can confirm or help me here. Originally, when the other drawing really actually showed it, the lease boundary was set up. It still says it's that line on the left-hand side. And that was, and so there's this space that you're, John,
line. You're asking about between that line and the fence. The lease boundaries were amended. I think it was in 16 or 17 or sometime in that time period in the last 10 years. And the new document shows the Alpine Gardens lease all the way up to the fence in a color. The document is color, and I think as part of the process, we'll need to clean this mm-hmm. up. That right now, as when it was last amended, the lease boundary is actually the fence line and not this other survey line that was out. And it's been something, if it's important, it's of importance to the gardens so that the gardens can do what it needs to do on the west side of the fence. But conceptually, we've discussed in planting even on that side with their permission to improve the condition. Some of the existing trees, there's a lot of trees there. It's a monoculture of spruce, and I think there's an opportunity to diversify the plant species, create more interest. There's not a lot of plantings in the 3 to 8 foot that really effectively create a vegetative screen instead of looking at a fence. And so that's the intent with those shrubs we planted, but I think they need to be augmented.
I mean, I think that one of the main concerns about expanding this building from, again, the Ford Park user experience for those people that are traveling through that area, the Alpine Gardens, and making sure that we're not throwing up, stucco facades that are less than appealing to look at for people in that area, because that's just an area a lot of people walk through there. And enjoy that experience. So working with the gardens or whatever, I'd be very interested to know, what the plans are. Certainly see the need to expand concessions. That's something that I've heard about from people that attend shows there. You wish that there was a little bit better warm food variety as opposed to just being able to buy chips and stuff like that. So I think that would enhance the user experience for the amphitheater, but also being sensitive to the visual impacts in that area when that building is expanded. Whether it's just to the west or some to the west and then some to the south, which I think y'all are still working on. And again, roof will not be going any higher.
That's right.
This building.
Same, yep. Same height.
As we go further west, do we have an elevation drop off? So like if you're, are you going downhill in this area? Again, so when you're pulling a wall out, when you see the wall, it may appear that the building's become bigger and taller because of a slope that's going down to the west.
Yeah, I think it's the opposite. Well, at least on the west, for sure, it's the opposite. Since the berm is there, you actually see less of the building height from the west. We'll have to study, if we do push to the south through those dash lines, kind of how much of the exposure that building there is.
During the pre-application meeting, I think the town landscape architect, Greg, requested we do views from the garden selectively looking at the very
I think that would be very helpful
and so
for
that's
everybody.
Part of our we're going to prepare for the formal application.
All parties involved in this, I think that would be extremely helpful.
That would be a question for me on the north concession with the two stories, how that looks too. Because we don't have a section or an elevation in our pack here.
Yeah. We're looking at the kind of the east arrival from East Betty Ford Way. We're looking at north concessions from off-site. We're looking at this corner from off-site. And probably the box office, I'd imagine. So there are four kind of key areas we're studying.
The box office from the Nature Center Bridge was recently improved because, just to remind everybody, the Presidential Tribute is part of that view angle to the left, to the west, to the right is the box office. So we're trying to reconcile that. That comment I made early on about trying to create more of a plaza-like feel with all those things working together is one of the goals we're striving for.
So with the new planting plans, a lot of the vegetation in this area is pretty tight to buildings. Are you being restricted by Fire-Free 5 on your new plantings pretty heavily?
We are to some extent. We're still looking really, a lot of these buildings are non-combustible. We're still we need to have a meeting with the town's wildfire specialist, Mr. Cada, to understand what we can't, but we're gonna have to meet
So you can try to get exceptions given they're non-combustible? Or
Yeah, we're going to see if that's possible because so much of the care, it is an outdoor amphitheater, and so much of the character of the facility is, as Dave has already pointed out, the landscaping and being in part of a landscape experience. So yes, so we're going to look at that very carefully, and we have to keep that in mind. I mean, right now there's definitely evergreens, as you can see, that are probably in violation of some of those codes.
Yeah. Especially if they start, you know, requiring, you know, are you guys under the same code as everyone else? We have to start cutting back. There's big impacts here. And so I'm very supportive of Fire 45 in general, but I think there are some times where we're, you know, cutting off our nose to spite our face with some of these situations. It's really, you know, these beautiful areas we have here. So
yeah, no, we totally agree.
I'd be supportive of you trying to get exemptions for that.
Okay.
Yeah, I think that in this area, less concerned about wildfires rolling through Ford Park than, you know, I think screening for our visitor experience and the scale at, in all the areas that you guys noted are, is important.
Yeah. Yeah, we're really hoping because the buildings are made out of metal studs, CMU, and they're coated in stucco, that we get a little bit of latitude, you know, as far as the landscape goes.
Yep.
Yeah, we'll see. Any other from commissioners, any other thoughts or questions in regard to the south concession area? Dave, anything else?
Nothing that nobody else has already brought up.
All right.
I have one question. Okay. The additional space on this building, what is the goal? Is it to, I guess, is there a certain enhancement of the food offerings that is being met by the additional grill space, or is this like a,
It's twofold. One is to be able to turn the meals around quicker for the existing guest, so they're not being backed up, and they're getting, you know, larger plating area there on the west in order to do that. And the other goal is to expand the food offering, like you just mentioned.
Okay.
So it's twofold.
And it is, what you're proposing here is going to accomplish that second goal?
Yes.
Okay.
Yep. And I should point out that this was one of the buildings where we originally were proposing the second story option. But then when we studied the massing, the experience coming in through the social courtyard, and the fact that we're really trying to solve the kitchen line problem, which isn't really solved by a second level, we instead went out farther to the west and abandoned the second level.
Okay. CJ, it's important with the concessionaire that's been operating there the last few years has been part of the review process, and in terms of guiding what is necessary for to raise, elevate the operation there currently.
Okay.
So then we get to the big guy, North Concessions. So as Pedro mentioned, you know, we originally were going to try to work around the existing building, but then as much as we're adding to the west and adding up against the hillside to the north, and then the fact that we're putting a second story on it, it became the tail wagging the dog a little bit. And, you know, for the sake of trying to save a stucco box that's there now, we decided to just start over with that building. The footprint that you kind of see, the rectangular footprint where it says North Concessions, that's approximately what's there now. And so you can see how much we're adding to it on the west and to the north. Right now, you can see in the site plan how, you know, the plaza kind of remains the same along the southern edge. On the west there, where Greg's pointing out, that Borgen Plaza remains the same for VIPs. We're creating a lobby space on the western side of the building so that the Borgen Plaza can feel like an indoor-outdoor space when giant folding doors are opened up. And then we're recreating the planter there right at the third point of the building so that if they want to, they can kind of control that area versus the rest of the amphitheater experience. And then that L shape to the south of that planter, just to orient you, that's where the existing kind of food and drink rail is there, where people get some food and they kind of eat and people watch. So that all, you know, kind of boundaries that Borgen Plaza.
So is there going to be a reduction in the area of the Borgen Plaza because of the expansion to the west of the building?
Yes, there will be. So, you know, there's going to be kind of in that orange area, that's an enlargement of the Borgen Plaza. But you're right, that kind of trapezoid yellow is right now outdoor space. and it's going to be indoor space. So in a way, you know, it gets smaller, but because it's indoor-outdoor space, it's really just being repeated on the inside.
Yeah, and this is an important, I'm glad you keyed in on it, John. So that exists as outdoor space today, but it's underutilized. It's kind of back, there's an existing window that's about halfway right there.
Yep.
And what happens is it really feels like back of house. It's detached visually from the stage and from the other parts of the facility, so it really doesn't get used very effectively. And so we believe that having it as an indoor space that relates to the outdoor adds capacity and also solves the weather. Because at one point we looked at a tensil cover similar to the social courtyard to create that, and it just didn't seem like sufficient. So anyhow, that's one of the ideas.
So people, if, for instance, Borgen Plaza was being used for some sort of a special event or whatever, people would be able to go inside and outside on that lower level. So you're saying, like, for instance, to get out of the weather.
That's yes, right. That's the idea.
Yeah.
And so that would be a social area as well. Yes. It's not office space.
Or, correct.
Correct.
Or yeah. Convention space, I mean, rooms or whatever. The concept is free-flowing in and out.
That's right. Yeah, Greg, matter of fact, if you can zoom in on that left drawing, we can kind of go through the ground level there.
Is that where you show the folding doors there?
Yeah, right where you see the folding doors. So on the left is that kind of indoor-outdoor space, John, that we're just talking about.
Yeah.
Basically, the Borgen Plaza comes into a lobby, and during nice weather, you just keep those doors open and people filter in and out. So we're basically replicating what's there now, but putting a roof over it for inclement weather. You can see here, you know, the shape of the building footprint is very respectful to what's there now. In terms of the shape of the amphitheater. But kind of walking you through the plan, so you come in through the lobby. There's a stair that spills into the lobby that takes you to the upper level. We've got a large passenger elevator, which will also work as a freight elevator for moving a piano up to the studio, moving furniture up there. We've got the code-required restroom and some drinking fountains. So that's all kind of the front-of-house space, you know, part of this building. There's a flip-up concession counter for VIPs, which they have now, but it's outside. This would now be inside. And then kind of the whole southeastern quadrant of this building is basically replicating the existing concessions building that's there now. But now they get much more walk-in cooler space, more dry storage space, so they don't have to make that hump from the, you know, south concessions to this building as often as they do now.
So this is a lower level. So the service area that will be for the main part, generally the same dimensions.
That's
in
right.
Terms of the user experience.
That's
people
right.
That come in and buy drinks or whatever, they can, that'll be the same. Where is the new walk-in cooler space?
In the back there, again, in, you know, buried into the hillside, yeah. Okay. Behind that, which they don't have now. They yeah. have smaller versions of this now, but certainly not what you're looking at.
Okay.
The other, you know, thing we've been told is that their merch sales right now is totally inadequate. It's hard for them to set up properly, you know, to sell t-shirts and those sorts of things.
Yeah. So that stays in the same general area?
It stays in the same general area.
Is that indoor or outdoor space?
It's covered outdoor space. It's covered outdoor space. We're obviously being really respectful to the lawn seating. None of the lawn seating is going to get impacted, but we are going to put a steeper retaining wall there on the eastern edge of this addition to create that merch space. Like I said, above it is the deck that we'll get to in a minute, but that kind of covers that. And then there's a small office to kind of round out the back of house, you know, off the service area.
And how far, so the newer rooms where you have dry storage, walk-in cooler, the office space, the bathroom, the passenger elevator, all that's being built into the hillside?
That's right. Okay. About 13 and a half feet, it looks like.
All right.
Yeah.
And so the lower level is really not pushing further north than the existing building currently? It's only the second level that pushes further north?
No, this level also pushes farther north. Okay. Kind of that, the back of that rectangular service area, that yep. wall that goes east-west, that's basically the existing footprint.
Got it.
So there's about 13 and a half feet we're pushing to the north into the into the hillside.
Creating the storage space, the walk-in cooler.
That's right.
Yeah. And the bathroom, which is required.
Okay. Yeah, but from a customer, you know, experience, that concessions counter that you were talking about, John, is pretty much exactly what's there now, the length of it.
The one out there. And then for the Borgen patio and special events, there will be a concession counter that they can open up on the side over there.
That's right. That's okay. Right, for VIPs, yep.
Yeah.
So then if we pay...
A lot of people like to use that side concession thing because there's no people don't able, know that there's no line over
they'll
there.
They'll be able to go to the same spot they always have.
Just want to be able to get my beers quicker.
Okay, so here's the upper level, and just to orient you, there's the stair that, you know, spilled down below. So you come up those stairs, really cool kind of acrylic decorative panels, you know, up that stair. You come to a nice landing, which acts as the pre-convene area for the studio space. And then you have the passenger elevator I alluded to earlier. You've got code-required restrooms, since this is going to be an assembly space up top. On the left side of the drawing, we're proposing a living roof, you know, which you see a lot in Ford Park, and we feel like it would really soften this building and nestle it into the hillside. The big space, obviously, is the studio space, which will function as a flex space because dance really only uses it probably 10% of the time or some such thing. There's a flex space behind it that can be closed off, so it can be, you know, used separately or part of the main studio space. And then on the eastern part of the building, you get this kind of wonderful VIP deck that can, you know, where you can view the stage from up there, huge folding doors so that in nice weather that's all indoor-outdoor. The entire southern edge of that studio space would be a drink rail. You know, you'd have stools against there, you'd have a drink, but you can't, you know, walk through there because it's guardrail height. On the eastern part off the VIP deck, we have an egress stair that kind of boundaries that merch space I described earlier. You know, it's an assembly space, so we need two means of egress. We have an indoor-outdoor bar. You know, it can serve you outside under a covered roof, but then also inside. And then at the upper right, you know, you always need storage for all the furniture. You might have to move in and out. And then obviously a way to service the bar. So that's the upper level of the North Concessions.
This makes a lot more sense now. I was confused before. It was with the box. At the upper level of the event furniture. I was thinking there was a whole other level extending over the over the plaza.
Yeah. Okay. And we've been really careful to, you know, design those walls, even though it's at a conceptual level right now, off the VIP deck so that people in the lawn can't, like, you know, jump over and you know, get onto the deck. So we've been sensitive to that.
So looking at the second level, the VIP deck on the bottom right-hand corner of the building, that deck wraps goes along the front as well.
That's right.
So it's above the area where their concessions below.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah. So you get some protection.
There'll be an overhang.
That's right.
So if you're standing, okay.
That's right.
And then, so what's the purpose of the studio space and the flex space? I mean, it seems to be the real. I've heard somebody say dance studio.
Yeah, it's
or
it's
a Red Something Dance Studio. Is there a need for that with our summer programming? And or is this more along the lines of Vail Valley Foundation having a VIP space where they can charge more for tickets and have a VIP experience with an indoor-outdoor kind of thing going on?
It's really conceived as the former, John, in terms of a rehearsal space for Bravo. Some of the storage of their instruments, which requires, you know, if you're moving them on and off site, particularly some of the larger, really expensive instruments. And then also the dance studio, there is a need. They currently, there's temporary structures that are set on Gold Peak, and they use that, and I believe they use other space throughout town. I don't think this would meet all of it, but it would meet a lot of it on site, so that combined with the box office. And that was one of the things I want to say about the box office. It's not just the Robert Plant, it's the orchestras that are unionized and actually have pretty specific requirements in their union contracts. They're involved in Maestro and all sorts of people. And it's the dance festival that comes with the dance troupe. It's quite a bit different. I mean, remind ourselves that what happens at the Ford Amphitheater is it's very diverse in terms of the programming. And one of the things that I'm sure Vail Valley Foundation would want us to represent this is, when Bravo takes over for the classical music series, there's four orchestras, but they basically get encamped in the amphitheater for about 6 weeks, and there's quite a bit of dark nights in between that we're not taking advantage of the facility of some of the routing that comes through Colorado to other facilities. And so part of the this improvement and the collectively, we believe that it will allow the foundation to take advantage of some of those dark nights for additional programming in between the Bravo, where right now it's just shuttered. So that's an important aspect of this too.
Yeah, it's funny, if you go into the basement right now below the stage, they have the dance set up with the mirrors and the ballet bar, but then that's also the place where they have the, you know, the after concert festivities. So it's, there are all these kind of clashing, you know, events going on. So they want a dedicated space where they don't have to mobilize and demobilize every time.
Okay. Now the thought is, I also acknowledge that there would be some special VIP at times and the sorts of things you mentioned. It's just not quite understood yet.
But it is adding additional space here that for yes. the current purposes need to be utilized.
Yeah, it is for sure.
Okay.
So yeah, we have some 3D views of this as well because we knew this would be important. So this was the first, we have two options. This is option one, and this is what's shown in the aerial kind of image of the overall campus. And so in this option, we wanted to play it safe. We replicated the stucco boxes that are there now. You know, you've got the big folding windows there on that upper drawing. You've got kind of the catwalk that we just described with the glass guardrail in front of that. And then obviously below that is the concessions, which is essentially replicating what's there now. On the left, you've got the big folding doors that would open the Borgen Plaza into the lobby space. And then on the bottom, you can see kind of the two side elevations of the building. The one on the bottom right, you know, is from the lawn seating, and the one on the bottom left is what you'd see from the gardens. So, you know, when we studied this, you know, we knew we were trying to be respectful to the existing materials and kind of the shape of the massing. But we really didn't like how it turned out all that much because it's not this kind of low-slung stucco box that you see everywhere else. So we'll get to option two here in a second. But if we flip through this slide, you can then see, you know, the drawing on the left is what you would first see when you arrive through the social courtyard. You can see this is an iconic building because it really forms the backdrop of what you see and becomes, you know, part of this kind of axial experience into the campus. And then on the right is what you would see if you were inside the pavilion, kind of, you know, looking to the northwest. You see the lawn seating to your right, and then this building. And so then if we go to option two, or I'm sorry, this is the aerial. And this was, you know, what was presented in 2023, so it's consistent with what was shown before. But then if we go to the next slide, we thought, well, what if we kind of replicate the architecture of the amphitheater, and he becomes the big brother, and this special building becomes the little brother. You know, it's such an iconic building. It forms that backdrop, like I mentioned. What if we put a sloped roof on it with kind of three segments, these kind of fan-shaped plates? We replicate the soffit that's in the amphitheater now, that kind of wood soffit, and we bring it into the dance studio. The other reason we wanted it to take a special form, because it does have a very special purpose, you know, in the dance studio function. But same pieces and parts, you know, you've got the folding glass on the right, the glass guard rail, and then at the bottom, the concessions. And then on the left, at one time we were proposing a kind of a roof deck, but we don't really need it, you know, and there's a such thing as maybe creating too much plaza space that becomes underutilized. And so now we're proposing to make that a living roof. But you can see here on that lower right drawing, how, you know, the shed roof form, you know, kind of meeting the hillside and then the lawn seating going up, those are really complementary to one another. The back of the studio space would be 14 feet, and then it goes up to 18 feet at the front. The dance people would obviously like something much taller, but we think this kind of strikes the balance between the two. And then if you go to the next slide, you can now see how, you know, again, from the arrival, you know, you kind of see this form that relates to the amphitheater pavilion. And then on the right, from the pavilion, you can really see how the architecture is very complementary. And it, you know, looks like, it feels like this building is the smaller version of the larger one.
What was your ceiling height? It was hard to read. I couldn't read on that last slide, the elevations.
Yeah, so it's 18 feet at the high point, and then it slopes down to 14 feet at the back of the dance studio.
Do you need that much?
They actually wanted 22 and 18 feet, and then we brought it to 18 and 14, which I know they're going to, you know, gripe about. It's hard to believe they throw people that high, but apparently
it's for actual, you like you for the like throw moves, dancing.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay. Yeah, 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 absolutely.
Yeah. I was wondering why you would need that, but that makes sense.
Yeah, yeah. And then the last slide just shows the aerial view, which we think, you know, kind of shows it the best in terms of this complementary architecture of the two. And so you'll have these kind of three important pieces. You'll have the main pavilion, you'll have the dance studio, and then the social courtyard.
How much is the north concession going to be enlarged?
If we go back to the plan, in terms of square footage or in terms of just dimensions? Square footage on the lower, what's, do we have the addition cat somewhere? The, do we know what's there now?
About 14.
Okay. About so 14 up to 24, you said? Or 4,000?
43 total.
Okay.
2,000 square foot.
Yeah. Okay. So significant.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Can we go back to the renderings, the option two? Yeah, I want to look at that. You know, my initial thought is I like the idea that you guys have of trying to tie this building, this concession building and studio space into the amphitheater with the architecture. The other thing that, so I like that aspect of it. It was interesting to hear that the dancers need high ceilings to throw people around without hitting their heads, because I was wondering why the second story was so large. It is visually, you know, it's a lot bigger than what's there, and there seems to be a lot of massing in the front of the building for when people walk in. So just like the other areas that we've noted today in our discussions, I want to make sure that this building, it's not too much. And when I look at what, you know, where you've got a level with opening the glass doors, and then you've got a lot of glass above it before you hit a roof line that's going to be angled up, that's pretty imposing considering what's there now. I'm not so I want to have a good, especially, you know, y'all have the opportunity to do renderings of the area and we can look at what's there versus what's being proposed, but I want to make sure that that's not out of scale. However, I do, you know, I didn't first thing I was like, well, that's too big. But now you're saying, well, the reason why the foundation wants it is for a practical use. So I think it's important that as a commission we see all the hear those things, but at the same time, you know, we're going to need to be sensitive to all the surrounding areas and making sure that this doesn't look like it's out of scale for the visitors when they come in.
Absolutely.
Along those, go ahead.
Well, I was going to just say, we could also continue to study, you know, those two side wings. Maybe those have an opportunity to come down.
Well, and so that's what I was going to bring up, is that the roof covering the VIP deck.
Yeah.
I understand that you want a covered area there for weather and whatnot, but it's a pretty imposing mass so that comes out there. It almost looks like a sail jutting out. I know you're trying to, like, bring in, communicate with the, you know, how the stage works, right, in those coverings.
Right.
But I don't know if there's an opportunity to do something, you know, that's like a tensile covering to match like the tent fabric of the, you know, front, something that's a little visually less imposing.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just, that was my first thought seeing that. I was like, wow, that's like a big roof, giant soffit you're staring at from below. So,
no, we can definitely study bringing those down. And, you know, one thing we haven't had a chance to put in this rendering yet is the part that does cover the VIP deck. You know, we wanted to put a piece of structure there because it's going to need some.
Yeah.
That's similar to what's holding up the amphitheater plates. So again, the two talk to each other.
Mm-hmm.
But we could certainly study lowering those because it's really just that central form that needs to be, you know, in their mind, 22 feet tall.
Is it physically possible to throw somebody 22 feet.
I guess you don't even want to feel the perception that you're getting close to
like a traffic study. We might need to see a ballet tossing study to see how
Just go with a retractable roof when they're throwing people.
It's also being used for trampoline practice. So.
I had two things. One, on that same point of that roof structure of the VIP sort of being a very large surface, you know, looking west, hanging out in the lawn seats a lot, is it going to affect that view corridor looking west over Betty Ford Gardens towards the mountain? And then the other thing I didn't really see was, or maybe I missed it, the divider between the concessions and the VIP area on the outside. Right now there's a stucco wall that comes off of that concessions building that kind of separates the concession window for Borgen Plaza and, yeah, so is that now like a low planter?
Well, there's still go to the floor plan.
There's still a wall?
Yeah, there's still a stucco, well, where you can kind of see, Greg, the employee entrance right
this
there.
This trapezoid?
Yeah, right there. There'll still be a big stucco wall that comes out, but then next to it will be that planter.
So that'll still be like a 6 foot tall, whatever wall.
No, so that would be a seating to replace what's there. It's actually quite important because the landscaping in there, there's some mature aspens that really divide the two spaces, the main concessions area, and then the plaza is more intimate. So we're replacing that and also kind of tying in the circulation of the employee access door that's recessed. Largely replacing what's there today and really playing off the geometries. If you see this planter in context with the stairs and other geometries of the facility, it's got a lot of acute angles and that sort of thing. So
see the echoes here.
Yeah, so we're trying to be respectful of the original, the main planter coming up the stairs as an example.
I have a couple questions. What is the reason for not wanting to have grill space in this building?
It's a good question, and we can get a better answer for you. I think it's because, you know, they're trying to not have multiple commercial kitchens going on in this facility. And I don't know if it's a cost issue or a operational issue.
It's also staffing.
Staffing, yeah.
That's what.
So is there a planned route for moving? You're going to have all this more food you're cooking in the other building, and then how are you, like, where is it supposed to travel to and from there?
They're coming through that staff entrance. That's a good, right there. It's a great question there. They're coming with palletized carts. They have to come through that door, and then they take them back to dry storage and the coolers back there.
They come in, so they're, like, going through the plaza.
Right, which is what they're doing now.
Yeah.
So they basically have to keep doing what they're doing now. But because the dry storage is so much larger and the walk-in is so much larger, the frequency of those trips goes way down.
Okay.
Yes. Yeah.
And what's the VIP deck, what's the occupancy of that deck?
In terms of how many people can it hold?
Yeah.
It's usually 15 square foot per person. If you zoom in on that deck, Greg, on the right there, yeah. I can't remember what the dimensions were, but if you divide that by 15, short answer is I don't know off the top of my head.
It says it's 18 by 19?
Yeah, 18 by 20 maybe. So it's about 400 square feet.
So
and some of it's
people?
Stairway, you know, divided by 15.
So like max then 20 people?
Probably, yeah. Probably.
Is there, I'm assuming they want like the flex and storage space, but it seems like if you're bringing a VIP area and it can somehow move the dance studio farther back into the building and have a larger deck, that would be beneficial for sales and the experience. Because, I mean, it is really cool that the dance studio will have the sliding doors and everything, but, like, from being in that room, you're not necessarily going to be able to watch the show, you know, from a lot of angles of that room. So sounds like the dance studio is a big priority with this second floor, but...
Right, but I think this is mostly for them to practice, not for them to have a dance performance.
Yeah, I'm just saying if you're paying for a VIP ticket and all of a sudden you're, you know, within that dance studio space, I don't know how valuable of an experience that's going to be if you're not actually out on the deck.
Oh, right, right. Well, I could see them kind of mingling outside and inside. Honestly, I could, you know, we did a separate plan as a study for VVP showing a bunch of high tops in there, you know, where they might have an event.
Okay.
So I think kind of similar to the lobby space, you know, this could be quite a nice assembly space, especially when that whole southern window wall is opened up, you know, and you're looking down into the amphitheater. A lot of people go to the concert, honestly, to be more part of the experience than to actually see the performer, you know, so.
Any other thoughts or questions for these guys in regard to the North Concessions building? I think along the lines of what Commissioner Tucker just mentioned too, you know, when you're looking at the different angles and perspectives, because there's so many different angles and perspectives in and around this facility that people get that contribute to their experience at the amphitheater. That how the interplay between, as you go up in the lawn seating and that side in the corner, what those people are gonna see. You know, now you're looking at a stage and you look over to the right and there are trees.
Right.
What they're gonna be looking at when they look at that second level from that area of the lawn and from the middle of the lawn too. I'd like to see what the visual impacts are gonna be. You know, down the when we start looking at this as an application and not a work session.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because all of those experiences are important for people everywhere throughout the venue.
Yep.
Okay. Anything else? Any thoughts from commissioners in regard to the presentation we've heard today that we haven't talked about?
Are we doing final comments? You just want to do it now?
Or yeah, it's a work session. It's just a work session. So.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, the North Building is a really big addition, right? And it's impactful. And so I guess hearing from the stakeholders when the application comes up as a file, you look at the, thank you for calling out that page, Greg, because I pulled up the master plan and it states that, you know, building improvement should be limited to the necessary to meet the environmental, recreational, educational, cultural needs of the park and community. So, you know, for that big of an ad, we do need to hear this is necessary from the stakeholders because, you know, and hear that it can be used beyond, because I think what Bravo takes over for 6 weeks and the Vail Dance Festival is 2 weeks, right? And so that it would be utilized for more than just 15% of the year, right. And it's helpful for that. Because otherwise, if we're talking about an entire story added to this building to address the needs of 15% of the year, you know, is that necessary? I'm not sure.
Right. Yep.
So.
And they've been keyed in on that. The VVP does realize that, you know, the dance and the, you know, the Bravo is kind of a small part of the programming. Mm-hmm. And so that's why we're keyed in on trying to make this as flexible of a space as possible. So, yeah.
Okay.
Any other thoughts from commissioners about what we've seen today? Any questions for these guys? Commissioner Tucker, anything else from you?
Nothing more than to reiterate, you know, the view corridors and being able to see some of those in rendering so that we can have a good understanding of what visual impacts on those view corridors, especially with that North Concession building. You know, I thought there's a great deal of care that's been put into how to effectively use good materials and really thoughtful design, and that's really appreciated. But I'm interested to see those view corridors.
Okay. Thank you guys for the presentation today. We will take public comment in regard to the work session. So if there's anybody online who's been listening today that would like to provide public comment, there's a raise hand button in Zoom that you can hit. If you could hit that raise hand button, we do not have anybody in the room to provide public comment today. So I'll go to the back. And do we have attendees online? And has anybody hit the raise hand button?
Yeah, there are attendees online, but no one has raised their hand.
All right. If no one's hit the raise hand button, we're going to close public comments. And any further thoughts for our presenters today from commissioners?
No.
No? No more? All right. Thank you, guys.
Yeah, thank you very much.
Appreciate it.
Appreciate it. This is very helpful for us.
Yeah, and work sessions are very helpful for the commission and for the public as well. So thank you for scheduling a work session without just jumping into the application. We appreciate it.
Thank you, Greg, for doing that.
All right. So next item on our agenda today is agenda item 4.1. This agenda item is going to be re-noticed for a future meeting, so we're going to take no action on it today, correct?
Correct.
And then agenda item 4.2 is a request for review of a variance from section 12-7B-16 landscaping and site development. Pursuant to chapter 17 variances title 12 Vail Town Code to allow for a reduction in the existing landscape area at the Red Line End condominium building located at 304 Bridge Street and 297 Hanson Ranch Road, Vail Village Filing 1, Block 5A, Lots E through H. This is PC application 25-0040. The applicant has requested that we table agenda item 4.2 to our February 9th, 2026 regularly scheduled meeting.
And they've actually requested that be the February 23rd, so just a little update.
So we'll do a February 23rd tabling. Can I get a motion?
So moved.
We have a motion by Commissioner Hagedorn.
Second.
A second by Commissioner Litnick. All those in favor, please say aye.
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 Anybody opposed? Nobody is opposed, so the motion to table carries 5-0. We're going to move to approval of the minutes, but before we get a motion to approve, I wanted to note one thing with the minutes. Since we talked about minutes at our last meeting,
sure,
and the formatting, I do like what's going on here. I want to make sure that, let's see, one of these applications, let's see, conditional use permit for shows, I think it was that. I, on the top of page 3 of the minutes, talk about review criteria and meeting review criteria. I wanted to note that in Commissioner Hagedorn's comments below, he did echo the comments of other commissioners, but as I recall, he called out specifically meeting other criteria than I had called out. And I just wanted, when we're doing these nice, robust minutes,
mm-hmm,
I want to make sure that, especially when commissioners are talking about review criteria,
mm-hmm,
and how they believe an applicant either meets or does not meet those criteria, that those comments make it into our minutes, because I do think that they're very important for people to understand. I understand if there was ever legal action down the road, that people would be looking at the full transcript. But I do think if commissioners are discussing specific criteria, if we can try to get those into our minutes.
Yep, understood.
And Commissioner Hagedorn's did not make it into this one, this version.
Thank you.
anything else in regard to minutes before we look to approve these?
No, thanks for adding the timestamps.
Yep.
Yeah.
Helpful.
I think the way we're going with minutes is good. It's going to be helpful, in particular, like I said, to council and the public. If this is becoming too much of a bear for you guys, though, and it's taking up too much staff time, that's the kind of thing that we should discuss as well.
So. Yeah, I think as we get a little more practice at this kind of revised method of doing it and maybe narrow down a better standpoint or a better process for doing those, we'll kind of find that or figure out exactly what the time calculation is going to be from a staff perspective. And kind of if it's going to be too onerous, we'll discuss that. But at this point, I think we'll keep trying that and see if we can refine it down to a manageable portion. And then get back to you if there's any concerns.
And this might be a beneficial use of AI. I know that Zoom,
yep,
from other boards that I sit on, Zoom has an AI function now that transcribes minutes pretty accurately.
Yep.
But my point is I like the robust minutes. I don't want to overburden your office because you guys have a lot of work to do otherwise than transcribe minutes from things that are said during these meetings. Mm-hmm. So. Motion to approve the minutes. Did you move to approve?
Not yet.
All right.
I will. So moved.
A motion by Commissioner Hagedorn. Do we have a second?
Second.
No, I was going to say no one wants to approve the minutes. Commissioner Tucker seconds. All those in favor, please say aye.
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 Anybody opposed? Nobody's opposed. The motion to approve the minutes carries 5-0. Any information update?
I'll probably take that as 4-0-1 as CJ was absent.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So 4-0-1. Yeah,
yep.
That's correct.
For information update, just a reminder that terms do come due at the end of February. I believe we have Bobby, John, Bill, and maybe CJ?
Almost 1 year in.
Yeah, thank you, Dave. Applications will be starting to be accepted in February, so please keep an eye out for those for anyone interested in reapplying and or if you have anyone else who may be interested in serving.
Okay.
That's it.
Did you have a application meeting with Lunarvale after our last meeting?
Yes, we did, determined as to when they will come back to you guys. Still trying to figure out that date.
Okay.
Anything else from you guys?
Just the last thing quick.
Yeah.
Sounds like the town council did approve red line. They did not remand, right? Thank God.
It did not get called up as part of their DRB PEC update. It is currently with the DRB at a conceptual level at the last week's meeting.
Okay. Are we going to have the whole town here for the next red line meeting?
We'll see.
Yeah.
All right. Anything else from anybody before we adjourn? All right. Can we get a motion to adjourn?
Motion.
Motion by Commissioner Tucker.
Second.
Second by Lipnick got in just before Littner. Second by Lipnick. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. All those aye. Opposed. All those opposed to adjourning. Nobody is opposed. Motion to adjourn carries. Meeting is adjourned.
Thank you.
Thank you, everybody.